At Mark chapter 4, verses 35, and it's 35 to 41. Now, it's about Jesus and the storm, but I sort of imagine that everyone here today would experience some kind of worry or some kind of fear. Wonder how you're sleeping at night. Wonder how each night's sleep. Do you just have a wonderful sleep, just sitting there, knowing God's got everything under control? Or do you sit there in a bit of a panic, a bit of worry, restless, like as if God is just completely out of control, your whole life is out of control? So there's many things in our life that we worry about, things that we just have no control over. So you could be the fittest person possible, yet your family has a history of cancer and you're going to get that, unfortunately. If it's in the genetics. You could be a successful entrepreneur, but there are certain market elements that might crash, causing you to lose everything. You could teach your children to be the best drivers on the road, but another person goes over the legal limit and smashes into them. There's just so many things in life that we cannot control. We are powerless people, and our life is full of many storms. Many things that hit us and ravage our lives. So today we're going to look at this passage in Mark 35 to 41 about some fishermen that encountered a storm with Jesus. So let's read along. This is the ESV version. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. And they woke him and said, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were all filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Well, the disciples thought that their whole life had come to an end. They believed they were going to die, and they believed Jesus didn't care. And your life will face many storms, things that will cause you to fear and worry. You will hit events in your life that you're powerless over to control. And Mark wants us to see that having Jesus in our lives actually makes a difference to our fears. That Jesus is the one who we can trust when life becomes chaotic. That Jesus is our God who is in control of the events of our life. So today, Mark, I want us to better understand Jesus, and I want us to see who Jesus is. That Jesus, we want to see where Jesus is when the storms come, and then we want to see how faith in Jesus affects our fears amidst those storms. And then I want to look at how Jesus' authority over the storms actually transforms our lives. So far in Mark, just sort of pick it up where we're at, Jesus has healed the sick, he's healed disabled people, and he's healed or cast out demons. There's been no events of walking on water, no feeding the 5,000, no raising people to life. These things come later on. So when we look at the situation with Jesus on the boat, you have to sort of feel for these disciples. Because if you were there, and what you knew so much so far about Jesus, you would have been slightly afraid too. See, the boat was taken on water, verse 37, and we've already seen Jesus do some miracles. Some miracles. So Jesus is pretty handy to have around. But nothing that comes close to calming a storm. Okay? So these men were close to Jesus, they were his friends, they were experienced fishermen, probably tough guys, and yet this fear of this storm, it's overwhelming. It's a serious storm. You know, verse 37, a great windstorm arose. And it seems like Jesus didn't care about the situation. Jesus is fast asleep on a comfortable cushion. It's almost like Mark saying, and he's on a comfortable cushion. He's just relaxed. But that word, you know, comfortable cushion, or on a cushion. And some days when things hit our life, when we hit some rough waters, we're probably thinking the same thing as they do. Where is Jesus? Where is God when you need him the most? Doesn't he see what I'm going through right now? And it's like God has gone to sleep in those moments. But notice how this journey started. we look at verse 35. Notice how it started. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." It was actually Jesus' instructions to go into the sea, to go into the storm, although they didn't know it. Jesus was the one who was leading them into the storm. He was leading them into a near-death experience. And that can be hard to wrestle with. But Mark makes it very clear. This was no accident. This was God's plan. Jesus was at work growing these followers of him. God was at work revealing who he really was. Jesus was revealing who he was. And we did this so we can trust him, so we can follow him. Yet the disciples' viewpoint, from their viewpoint, they didn't see this as a fantastic opportunity to develop their faith. They believed they were all going to die. And all they could see is that Jesus seems very unconcerned about the situation they face. He's asleep, completely unfazed by the biggest storm, hurricane that's ever hit their boat. And in this, Jesus has a right to snooze. Jesus had a busy day. He's been doing ministry. This reveals somewhat of the character of Jesus. We know, as we know, that Jesus is fully God. Yet here, he's definitely also fully human. He's experiencing life as we know it. But the disciples, they're yelling at him, "Don't you care that we're perishing?" You know, that's what we do when we panic, when we fear, don't we? We get emotional. We start yelling at people, start yelling and pointing the finger. It may be at God. It may be people around us. "Why isn't someone doing something?" they're saying to Jesus. "Why aren't you doing something? Can't you see the situation at hand?" So they're venting and they're fuming as they see Jesus so unconcerned. And we do that too, don't we? We vent at people when we think that people are doing nothing, as we see the water starting to come in, as we start sinking. Like the disciples, we panic when everything seems out of control. Our fears and our worries for all the things come together and start to control us and scare us. They're the things that keep us awake at night. And our lives are full of these storms. Events that you cannot have nothing, no power over, can't stop. And yet it's Jesus who is leading them into this chaos, leading us into these chaotic moments. That doesn't mean Jesus, that in every event Jesus is a direct action or he's making everything happen, but he's leading us into the storms. Behind everything, behind our worst situation, Jesus is there leading us into it. He is steering our lives to enter into the storm. The question is, can you trust Jesus in these moments? Or is your reaction to doubt him? The truth is, our lives are not much different than these guys, aren't they? I know my life isn't much different. As we read this, we see ourselves. When disaster hits, the first thing we do is we're overwhelmed with fear. We fear the storm rather than trust Jesus. Which leads us to our sort of second point, is it fear or faith? So how does Jesus respond to the disciples' cry for help? Well, Jesus gets up and tells the storm to be still, and the winds and the sea obey his voice and are calm. Amazing event. We get a glimpse here of who Jesus really is. Jesus just says the word, and nature listens and obey him. If only we would do the same, hey? Listen to him and obey him. Clearly, Jesus is more than just a simple teacher. And yet Jesus confronts the disciples with this statement in verse 40. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" I mean, I don't know about you. If you were there, I would be like them. If I was there, I'd be like them. I'm sure you would be too. But what's Jesus getting at? Why would Jesus say to these group of guys that in a near-death experience, who called out for Jesus for help, who's on the boat, why does Jesus question their faith? They can clearly see that Jesus is with them. Well, to understand this, we need to understand what faith in the Bible is. Today we think of faith in our culture as basically wishful, positive thinking. Okay? That's what culture thinks. When you say you have faith, it's wishful hope based on an inner positive feeling or thinking. It's to have faith that everything will just work out just by how you feel. Okay? It's more about being positive than God. That's what culture thinks of faith. But biblical faith in the Bible means that we trust God in a way that gives us 100% peace of mind. We can trust God, we can trust Jesus, because he's the only one who can do above and beyond our circumstances. We can't. We can't change anything. We can trust God even when things don't go the way we expect, because he is behind it all. He is at work. Now, I remember, and I always say this example, but I remember when I went tandem jump, when I jumped out of a plane parachuting. When I jumped, okay, I had faith and trust that everything was going to be okay. Okay, I was a bit scared at the time, but I believed in the person who folded the chute. Okay, I believed in the person that said, watch me. I watched the person fold the parachute. I believed in the guy who jumped with me. And that's what faith is. It's believing and then acting out. So let's think about what Jesus has revealed about himself so far to them and us. Just think about where we are in the story. He's healed the sick, he's healed the disabled, he's cast out evil spirits, and he's taught with authority. So certainly Jesus is no ordinary man, and so Jesus believes that they should have trusted him. But so far, the disciples have actually failed to see who Jesus really is. They don't realise that Jesus is actually God. Because if Jesus is God, and they knew that, and he's on the boat, then everything would have been okay. They are with Jesus, but they fail to see who Jesus is. I very much doubt that they thought Jesus was going to calm the sea, because you can see that by the reaction at the end. Who is this guy? They didn't expect Jesus to calm the sea. I wonder if that's your life today. I wonder if you think that Jesus is like a good teacher, maybe a little miracle worker for you. But the only time you call on him is when you need a hand, because I think that's what the disciples were thinking. They're thinking Jesus can just come and give them a hand on deck. He's got some good abilities. He can do a few good miracles and he'll help them on deck. And I wonder if you think like that with Jesus. That he's not really the one in control, but he's a help for your life. You just tack him on. Come on, Jesus, come and give me a hand when I need you. I don't really trust my life to you. I just see you doing nothing at the moment, so come and give me a hand. And we fail to see Jesus in the storms and chaos when they hit us. And we come to Jesus for the wrong reasons, simply to find some help, rather than cling to him, the one we can trust. Jesus wasn't surprised by the storm. He actually took them into the storm. And he was there all the way. Yeah, he took him there, yeah. Jesus didn't avoid the storm. He didn't go around the storm. And actually, in fact, there was other boats that were there as well. So they were affected also by this storm. But because Jesus didn't want to take him around the storm or avoid the storm, Jesus wanted to take him through the storm to teach them, to teach him about trusting him. And so we need to do this, whether it's the little things or the big things. We need to see Jesus as we go in the storms. See Jesus, what he's doing. He may not do a miracle, he may do a miracle. Whether it's when you lose your job or you become seriously ill, or life seems to be going nowhere. See, I think it's interesting that often we pray to God to help us avoid the storms. That's what we want. We want to go around the storms. We ask God to bless our day, be good to us, but we don't normally pray that God take us into the storms. I don't pray that way. Do you pray that way? Lord, take me into the storms today. I'd really love to grow my faith. No. Yet Jesus does this. It's exactly what he does. He takes them and us into the storm, and the key is that Jesus wants us to trust him. He wants our faith to know that he's got it. And so real faith is developed through the storms. That's where you develop your faith and trust in him. Because it's at the end of the storm, normally you realise that Jesus had it. Even at the end of the storm of your life, you will see Jesus had it all under control. We want to have control of our life. That's the problem. But Jesus is the one who can have control. We really don't have any control. We have a limited thing, but it's Jesus who overrules all things. And this is the reality of life. This is why, like us, the disciples fell short. And yet in this, Jesus is growing us to trust him as we witness his work in the storms, here or in our lives. We have confidence in him. So this comes to the third point about Jesus' authority that can transform our lives. That the disciples here are asking the question, who is this guy? I think this is a very important part to grasp in this passage. I think it's probably the big key. Who is Jesus? Like the disciples, we need to see a bigger Jesus. What they failed to see is Jesus is God. It started to grow on them. You know, we have more information now in our storms than they did at that point. Do you know that? They had a little glimpse. They were with Jesus every day, but they didn't have the knowledge that we have right now. They were still growing in their faith. But here, clearly, God is the one who is on that boat. Psalm 107, which they did know, it is God who controls the seas and the winds. Only God. And Jesus is revealing to them who he really is. And that's why they are awed by this miracle. They didn't think this was going to happen. They didn't know that Jesus had authority over these things. Here, the disciples are spending time in the presence of Jesus, but don't see who really Jesus is. Many of us would know many things about Jesus, but do we actually realize who Jesus is in our life? Maybe you're hearing this information and you're ticking all your boxes saying, I know and believe all these truths about Jesus. I know all these truths. You're telling me stuff I already know. But does this truth of Jesus, who he is right now in your life, does it actually transform your life? So when the storms hit you, you do actually trust in Jesus. I mentioned about sleeping and that fear and that chaos that you have sometimes. I sometimes don't sleep at night. But I wonder how your sleep is going. I wonder how your life is going. I wonder what you worry about. I'm sure there are many things that are going through your head. I know someone's getting married. I'm sure she's got lots of things going through her head, and there's a father of the bride here. But there's many other things we worry about. We've got Travis, who's worried about his dad. There's many things that we're worrying about. Many things. Many things that keep us up at night. In our mind, we've got a storm. We're unsettled. We're worried. We feel like things are out of control. And the truth is, they are out of our control, but not for Jesus and his authority. And so often we may tick all the boxes, we know, but it doesn't do anything to us. Our information does nothing. It doesn't produce in us a transformation that causes us to trust Jesus. So we have doubts and fears that Jesus really can't handle the situation. That's probably why we're not sleeping. That's why we're worrying. Jesus really can't handle the situation. We're like the disciples on the boat. We have no faith, or we have a lack of faith. And so we panic when the water takes in, and we stay up worrying and restless. You know, often I think we believe that Jesus is in control of the good things that come our way, and we go, yeah, God's involved with that. But when the bad things come, how we see them, we start to worry. We start to panic. We don't see God involved in that. We don't see God over authority over those things. We only see God as partly in control. And we actually don't believe that he's in control fully. But the knowledge of who Jesus is should really transform us to trust him. That you can say, God, you've got this. You've got this. And you really do actually believe that. You're not just saying it. Jesus doesn't want to be left as simply some add-on to our life, someone we call when we have an emergency. Having Jesus ought to transform and make a difference. And that's what the disciples are starting to see with Jesus after the storm has calmed. But I wonder who you see Jesus today to be. I wonder what fears you face when the storms hit your life or are hitting your life. Those many things that you worry about. You know, maybe it's family. You know, we worry about family. When you're a dad, you worry about your kids, you worry about your wife. Will everything be okay? You know, yesterday Kath went for a drive with Millie, and you're wondering, will she be okay? Yeah, God's got this. Will God really care for them, even if something does happen to me? Maybe there's children, grandchildren you worry about. It's all a natural worry that we have, but in the end, we need to come to Jesus. We need to see Jesus over them. This is not a call to just a passive life, but a life of faith. That's faith in action. Maybe it's relationships. Maybe you have a fear of being alone or the fear of rejection. And so we don't see Jesus and the relationship we have with him. We don't trust him. Maybe it's our health. We we see so many people getting life-threatening diseases and we think, is it going to be me too? Will I be okay? Can we trust Jesus with this? Do you trust Jesus and say, yes, Jesus, I trust you 100%. I can sleep sound at night because I know that you're there, that you're in authority, and I have nothing to fear. It sounds too good to be true, doesn't it? But Jesus really is over all these areas. Do you really trust him? Do you really trust him over finances, over your dreams and goals? You know, what if they don't come true? Will you trust Jesus then? Many hard things we deal with, and many times we default like the disciples. We end up in fear. And we don't see who Jesus is. We see him as being asleep, uninvolved. But we need to stop and ask, is Jesus in control of this? Can I trust Jesus in my life right now? Do I believe that his authority is over my circumstances? And in these circumstances, can I hear Jesus say, trust me? Even in death, can you trust Jesus? Because we know, as Roger mentioned, that Jesus faced the storm of the cross on our behalf. And there he took our guilt and shame. So we no longer fear even judgment. But by faith we live by trusting in him. Even though the disciples lacked faith, and often we do, Jesus graciously and lovingly shows us why we can trust him. That he is greater than the wind and the storms. That he is the creator and redeemer. And the good news is, if you are a follower of Jesus today, Jesus is in the boat. He's in your life. He's there with you as you enter the storms. He's calling you to trust him. He's experienced everything that you experience. He knows what it's like. That you can know in that moment that he is leading you and you can trust him. Even if Jesus doesn't calm the storms, even if it seems that Jesus is asleep. We live in a world that's chaotic, in a broken world. And often we can either go along with it and say, this is just what it is, and face it alone, and feel like everything's out of control, and just put it aside. Or we can actually say, Jesus, I have hope in you. Because even though things look chaotic, I know that you are behind it. That I know that you're the authority of this. And rather than see things through our abilities, we can speak to Jesus and say, I know you've got this. We can hear Jesus say, do you trust me? Will you put my faith, will you put your faith in me? You know, before I went up in the plane to do the tandem jump, they sit you down and they actually explain everything. They did a bit of a training session, and I listened to a fair bit of that. Most of it just went over my head. But I listened because the information was important, okay? I really needed to hear this stuff because it was important. It would be a life or death situation for me. The lady who folded the parachute, I got to see her. I got to see her fold it, and she said that she'd folded it hundreds and hundreds of times, all successfully. That's good to know. But there's a certain way to fold a parachute. Okay. But I had confidence in what she was doing. The guy that I jumped with had jumped hundreds and hundreds of times successfully. Then he explained to me about the parachute, that it has a diaphragm that can tell the pressure, that if you're falling too quick at 2,000 feet, the emergency chute goes out. So if he happens to pass out, I'll still be okay. Knowing all these things built confidence that I was going to be safe. Now, there is people who die in parachute things, okay. But mostly they're sort of silly things, like the chute goes off when they're just getting out and they get caught on the back wing and stuff like that. And sometimes the chute doesn't work. They're all things you hear about afterwards, by the way. You don't hear about them before you go up. But the interesting thing is that information became transformational for me at 10,000 feet, okay? I certainly had some fears and worries, but I realise that it's going to be okay. Okay, the information I'm listening to actually brought transformation because it actually gave me peace of mind. Certainly there was still a few fears, but in the end, when the guy told me to jump and push me, I went because I trusted him. I was looking at 10,000 feet. Travis has done the same thing. He did it 12,000 feet, I reckon. So he did it better. That's right. But I wonder if your view of Jesus is simply a parachute that you've whacked on your life. He's attached onto your life, but you know very little about him. You don't even know what he's going to do, all that sort of stuff. You know, could it be that why you worry so much is that you really don't know Jesus? You know, I think if they were to chuck the parachute on my back, chuck me in the plane and said, you're going to be okay, I think I probably would have had some questions. I think I would have had some worries. And maybe your life is a bit like that. Jesus is just chucked on the back. He's been put in there. But I want you to encourage you to patiently take the time to allow Jesus to teach you. Allow Jesus to explain to you more about who he is and what he does. Because then, when the storms hit, you'll have more confidence in him. And as you start to understand who Jesus is and what he's able to do, it'll build your relationship and your faith with him. That you'll have less fears and more faith. So when you study God's word, as we have this morning, as we've seen Jesus on the waters, well, not on the waters, but in the boat, we will grow more in trusting him and building that relationship. That information will bring transformation. It'll be the, you know, the aha moment that the disciples had on the boat. Aha! This is who Jesus is. A glimpse. Aha! Maybe that's for your life. As you read the word, aha, I can trust Jesus. I can trust Jesus. You begin to realize who he is. So when worry and fear comes, you can go to Jesus in prayer because you know who he is. You're acknowledging that he's in control and you're asking him to govern this moment, which you're asking him to take that moment from you so you can have less worries and fears and trust him. I think if you're not bringing your fears and worries to Jesus, and if you do have a poor prayer life in those sort of things, I think it's probably because you believe you're still in control of the situation. I believe that's what it is. You actually think, no, I've got this. Not Jesus got it, I've got this. We use the word sovereign, sovereignty of God, that God is over all things. And interesting enough, we may have that word, that we actually may believe that God is part sovereign. He's actually sovereign over the good things, but not sovereign over the bad things. He's sovereign over the blessings, but not over the storms. And so we have sleepless nights, wrestling with God, wrestling with all the things, because we think that everything's out of control. We believe in a sovereign God, but only a part sovereign God. We don't trust him. Faith isn't a guarantee that the outcome will be what we like. It isn't a guarantee that we'll never face storms. But it is that Jesus has control of the situation. Faith believes he is in control and it's for our good. Fear believes Jesus doesn't care. But faith knows that Jesus loves and cares for us. This is fully seen on the cross where he paid for our sins. If Jesus is prepared to do that for us, what do we have to fear? When faith is at work, fear is taken away. But to be honest, most days we are truly like those people on the boat, fearful and failing to see Jesus. And so that's why in those moments, God is teaching us. God is drawing us back to himself. He's leading us into these storms so we will be drawn back to realize that we depend on him, that all our efforts in that situation are hopeless. That we need God, that we need Jesus in our life. We need Jesus over those storms. We realize who Jesus is and how, right through all these events that we do, that he was in control. I wonder if you're awed by God lately. You go, wow, this is who my God is. This is who my God is. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you do wow us. Lord Jesus, you do wow us. You awe us. Lord, so many times in the storms we don't see you. We see everything around us. We think Everything around us is so overwhelming. What can you possibly do? But you are there. You're the one leading us into it. Lord, help us to see you and trust you. Lord, help us to grow in you more so we actually know more about you, so we can develop our faith more. Lord, don't let us just have you as the parachute just stuck on our backs. But Lord, let us have confidence in you. And Lord, when fear comes, when disaster comes, Lord, we know that we will worry for a bit, we will fear for a bit, but Lord, in that moment, draw us back to you. Let us see you for who you are. Let us see that even in death, there is hope because of you. And let us know that where you are, we will be secure. We pray this through you, Lord Jesus. Amen.